I want to thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for this church. I believe that everything I have is thanks to this church, spiritually speaking. This is where I grew up, and this is where I've learned everything I've learned from you. From everybody in this room, and I thank y'all for it, because everything the Lord has done for me is through the church, and I really am appreciative of you brethren here. It's an incredible blessing that I believe I've been able to have. Growing up in this church and knowing y'all, I know that y'all have been examples to me in so many ways, and I know it's been mentioned already by many, and I don't think we can mention it enough, the faithfulness y'all have shown us, the faithfulness that y'all exemplify, just consistent to everything y'all know to be true, and the consistency in taking part in evangelism just amazes me, and I want to thank y'all for that, for just the great example that y'all have been to me. I don't really know how to express myself very well and in that way, but I really appreciate you, all of you. I want to read in Luke chapter 14. I want to talk about tonight this story that Jesus presents here. It's truly an unbelievable story. And meaning, it is not believable. The story that he talks about, that he gives here, is really just something you just can't believe. It seems, whenever you read it, absurd. You know it was absurd to the people, the Pharisees, listening to it. And when we read it, it even seems absurd to us when we read it. It's an unbelievable story. He gets into it. I want to focus on verses 15 but I got to give a little bit of background just to understand where it's coming from. Jesus in chapter 14 verse 1 says that he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. And it says that they watched him. So Jesus goes to lunch to eat at this man's house, and they're there, and they're the Pharisees, and the Pharisees they've always battled with pride and lifting themselves up. And they're looking at Jesus because they want to see him fall. They want to catch him. They want to see something, that he does something wrong. And so they're watching him. And at that place, there was a man, a certain man, it says, before him, which had the dropsy. So a man that was sick, and they were waiting to see what Jesus was going to do, because it was a Sabbath day. And the chapter before, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day, and a whole big old, problems came up because of it. And so now here they are again, a Sabbath day. Here's a man that's sick. And boy, let's see what's happening, right? We got to see this. And so Jesus, of course, looks at them, and he talks to them, and he's trying to explain to them, hey, is it wrong to heal on a Sabbath? Is it wrong to heal somebody? And he says, wouldn't you, if you had an animal that, of course, is valuable to you, falls down in the pit, would you not rescue him? Would you not save him? Of course you would. So how much more important and valuable is a person? So why would we have such a big problem with healing somebody on the Sabbath day? He presents a very good, very well argument. And it says in verse 6, they could not answer him again to these things. When it says that, to me, it seems like a couple things. It seems like, first of all, it's saying that they did not have a good argument. They didn't have a good comeback. They couldn't argue. They didn't have anything that they could have possibly told Christ, well, you're not seeing it this way. They had no argument, no good argument to come back at what Jesus had just told them. But it also seems to me that they could not answer to these things, that not only did they not have a good argument, but they couldn't even answer him and say, you're right. Dealing with pride, it's difficult. When somebody shows you something and you are wrong, it's very hard to say, you're right. Very hard to say that. And this is the problem that the Pharisees had. They were proud. I mean, everything they lived by was doing, working, and meriting, which makes you have a big sense of pride because you're doing it and you feel proud about it. And that's what they had to deal with. And so Christ gives them a parable. He gets in and he starts dealing with their pride. And he talks to them about not looking for the first places, right? You're invited to a wedding. Don't go sit in the, you know, table that has number one on there. Why do you go sitting there? You know, what's going to happen is the guy who invited you is going to say, hey, you're not really that special to the bride and groom. You're number 12. So can you please move back? And boy, you're going to be embarrassed. He says, better yet, you should go sit number 12. And when they see you way back there, they're going to say, hey, come over here. What are you doing way back there? We love you more than these. Come, you're at table number one. Wow, and then you'll be exalted, right? And so he's dealing with their pride. You see that in verse 11. He says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Christ is dealing with their pride, and he's saying, you guys, y'all aren't getting it. What y'all need is to be humble. Y'all need to humble yourselves so that Christ, so that the Lord, so that God can exalt you. So he's dealing with their pride, right? Then he gives them some good advice in verses 12. He tells them, you know, follow God and to do these things, sometimes you're going to have to be humble to do these things. He says, whenever you make a feast, because there are people there, they were eating lunch, and a few of them had been bidden. There were special invited men there. And he says, whenever y'all have a feast, don't invite those people that can pay you back. Don't invite those people that your friends and the people who are rich. He says, invite the poor. Invite the people that are lame. Invite the people that are blind. Invite these kind of people so that your reward would be given to you in heaven. Because if you invite the people who are gonna just pay you right back, then you don't have a reward in heaven. But if you do that, you notice that you're not gonna look too good inviting all the poor, blind, lame people. Right? So they had to learn how to be humble. So he's talking about this, and he tells them in verse 14, thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So he mentions the resurrection of the just. You do this, you live this way, and you're going to be rewarded in the resurrection of the just. Now remember, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. They were waiting for the resurrection. And to them, the resurrection was a great thing. And to them, maybe thinking about Isaiah chapter 25, where it talks about the resurrection of the just, and it talks about the Lord making a great feast on the resurrection of the just, right? So they associated the resurrection of the just with a great feast. And so he's talking to them, dealing with their pride. Don't be proud. Don't look for the first places. You know? And he mentions the resurrection of the just. And guess what came to their mind? One man on verse 15 says, one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. It's like they didn't even get it. Everything that Jesus was just talking about just went over their head. They were probably not even paying attention. They heard resurrection of the just, and you're like, hey, that's us. We're going to be there. Woo, and we're going to be in the first spot. And he bakes a toast. Woo, blessed are they that are going to be in that great feast. They just didn't get the point. So then Jesus goes into a story. And this is the story that he goes into. Unbelievable story. Story that just, it's hard to believe. You ever heard somebody, you know, tell stories and they don't just exaggerate, they over-exaggerate? And that's kind of like what it sounds like Jesus is doing. Like, oh man, he's just over-exaggerating. He says, so he looks at this man that just said, ooh, we're going to be there. And he looks at him and he says, a certain man, verse 16, made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Okay, so he starts this story out, and he says there's a man that made a great supper. So this is obviously a very wealthy man. He made a very great supper. And this man had some special guests. He had invited some people to come. Now, the invitations in those days, obviously, were not like the invitations we have now. They didn't have watches and scheduled everything like we do now. I mean, things were a little maybe laid back. And, you know, today we send an invitation. We say, hey, July 17th of 2017 at 5 o'clock, be there, you know? And we can plan that far ahead. Well, in those days, it wasn't quite that scheduled, quite that well. So the invitations were twofold, you could say. First, you got the people that you invite and you tell them, we're going to have a great supper, right? And so he gives them an invitation. But the exact hour and time is still not known. And that was where the second part of the invitation comes into play. And so he goes into the second part of the invitation is whenever he says in verse 17, go tell them that we're bidden. So they've already been bidden. They've already been invited. Now you go tell them that it's time. It's ready. Okay. So a great feast and it's ready. Then he says in verse 18, this is where it starts getting unbelievable. He says, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. I mean, okay, maybe one of them gave an excuse. Maybe a few of them gave an excuse, right? But he says, all of them, all the ones that were invited, all those that had been invited, all of them made excuses. Oh, come on. That would not happen. I mean, this, you know, having a great supper in those days was one of the best things that could happen in your life. I mean, hey, it's food. In those days, you literally had to work every day just to eat. So if somebody's inviting you to a great supper, that's not just something you say, no, I'm not that interested. So for everybody to say, no, make excuses, that is just not even conceivable in their minds. But they all began to make excuses. But then the excuses they made. So it's not that they all just made excuses, but the excuses they made. He says, the first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. I bought some land. I gotta go look at some dirt. Can you please excuse me? I really need to go see that dirt. And by the way, can you give me a flashlight? Because I like to go at supper time and into the night. That's when you can really examine that piece of land. I mean, I don't know where it's going to be tomorrow, so I got to go now. Who knows? I mean, can you see the Pharisees just thinking, nobody would do that. No, Lord, what are you talking about? That's just an exaggerated story you're telling there. Nobody would excuse themselves from a great feast to go look at dirt. And another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Oh, I can't go there. I want to work. I mean, what are you, a Jackson? Who would do this? Who would say, I don't want to go to that great party and eat and have fun. I want to go work on my tools. It's just, I mean, that would not happen. This is absurd. Who would do that? And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Wow, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Doesn't take too long after you're married, you know who calls the shots. You know, I just got married. She doesn't want me to hang out with you anymore. I mean, this really, I mean, even we read it and we just think, what? No way. That wouldn't happen. But I mean, to these people that were actually listening to this, all these things were very significant. And they were really thinking, no way. That would not happen. Okay. So in verse 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Wow. Now the story just even got more absurd. Okay? So he made a great big feast. And in this great big feast, all the people that were invited made excuses and said no. They didn't go. Okay. But then the master of the house, this host says, okay, what I want you to do, go invite the poor, the maimed, the halt, all those lame, and the blind, bring them to my house. I'm going to feed them. Now, can you just imagine the Pharisee saying, that would never happen. Who would do that? I mean, really, this is just a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, really, I can just see the disaster. You got all the blind people, you know, walking around, knocking things over. You know, the halt, jumping around. I mean, it's not hard to think of the games they were playing. You know, pin the tail on the donkey. We don't even have to use bandanas. Everybody's blind. The host won every game. I mean, let's race. You know? I mean, really, nobody would do this. That would be a lame party. I mean, so we get the incredibleness of this story, right? This is just not believable. I mean, this is absurd. Nobody would do this. But he didn't stop there. He's got all these blind people and poor people, you know, thinking, oh, man, this guy's got some nice stuff. And then he says, no, well, still, the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And there's still room. Okay, so he says, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Go out to those, to those homeless vagabonds and get them to come. Do it. Compel them. Get them in. Because he was mad. He said, none of those that were bidden, none of those that were invited are going to come to this supper. Now, this is an absurd story. This is a story that is hard to believe. And yet, it's a true story. It's a true story. There was an invitation. There is a great supper. And the invitation by the Old Testament prophets, they had invited. And then, when the hour was time, now is ready. You could say maybe John the Baptist, maybe Christ himself, maybe even the disciples, apostles preaching. They said, it's ready. It's now. And what happened? What happened? The incredible happened. The unimaginable happened. They said no. They made excuses. They did not receive it. Okay, so then what happened? He turns to the Gentiles. Remember all those blind people y'all are laughing about? That's you. He turned to you. I want to read Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 46, says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Can you even believe, is that imaginable that somebody would reject eternal life? Well, it happened. And it still happens. You got to watch out with pride. And any religion that makes you think that your salvation depends on your works and what you do and makes you lift yourself up thinking that you're the one accomplishing these things is going to get you into trouble. We need to be careful with pride. Because Christ gave us the clue. Many, many times He gave us the clue. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Woo! Isn't that true? Amen. Boy, I'm glad that the Lord came and sought me out. Wow. And that's one of the reasons it's so easy for us to be able to go. Because, boy, the Lord is doing this. The Lord is actually, it's an amazing, an incredible opportunity that the people who were invited rejected it, and us poor, vagabonds, lame, blind people have an actual chance of receiving eternal life. Wow! And there's still so many people, so many of those out there that have not heard this message, and they need to hear it. To the ends of the earth, he said. He says, go, compel them. Why do you have to compel them? Because this story is unbelievable. It's hard to believe. You're telling me that he wants me at that great supper. A poor, blind, lame man. He wants me. Yeah. He's saying, I came for you. I'm rescuing you. And we got a whole bunch of people that are saying, what? Me? I can be saved? Me? Really? And you have to compel them sometimes. You know, another thing that we many times get a false idea of about soul winning and being missionaries is that we think, oh, souls just like get saved so easily. All of a sudden, oh, that we preach and all of a sudden there they are, woo, popping up everywhere. Believing the Lord. No, winning souls is not that easy. Sometimes it takes a long time to compel them. It takes years and years to show them and study with them and until their eyes are actually open that they understand this incredible, this absurd, this unbelievable story. Sometimes it takes a whole lot to get them to see that. Because it really is an unbelievable story. But it's a true story. Jesus can save you. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved us.
Thank you, Lord.
One thing that's clear about this church is we're not professionals. And if you've been listening to the messages this week, we're not professionals, right? No, we're miserable. We're nothing. And Christ saved us. And that's why we know that Christ can save them. And that's why we go, because we have something to say. We have something to give. And guess what? The house is not filled yet. It's not full. So let's go. Let's preach. Let's give them this incredible story.
Amen.
They can be saved.
Amen.
Because we've been saved.
Amen.
Let's compel them. Because we've received this great salvation. For salvation unto the ends of the earth. Let's do it, brother.
Amen. 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 Amen.